This is a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation.
Okay, my name is Jan Adams, and I'm from the Fidelco Guide Dog Foundation in Bloomfield, Connecticut, in the United States. We're located on the East Coast. Our school is very unique because we only use one breed of dog, and that is the German Shepherd dog. But we have a very, very long history with this particular breed. Our founders are Charles and Roberta Kaman, and they started with the German Shepherd dog because both of them were enthusiasts of this particular breed. They were very impressed with the dog's working capabilities, with the dog's stamina, also with the dog's intelligence and ease of training, and, of course, how the dog bonds to the handler. A German Shepherd is a dog who just loves to work and loves to work all the time. We even have quite a few of our dogs who, you know, when they are ready for retirement, we say they're ready for retirement, but when that harness comes out, they still want to get in and go to work. So that's the beauty of this particular breed of dog. The Kamans, our organization, started out in the early 60s. However, we were not a guide dog training school. Our organization was called the Fidelco Breeders Foundation. Mr. and Mrs. Kaman were taking dogs directly from sheep herding lines in Bavaria because they were very interested in getting a pure working German Shepherd. As you know, sometimes when dogs get very, very popular and they become popular within the show ring, what ends up happening is people are not selective about the types of dogs that they're breeding, and sometimes the standard of the breed is lowered. So what we wanted to do, or what the Kamans wanted to do, is make sure that they get the quality of the working German Shepherd to be a guide dog for people who are visually impaired. So they started importing these dogs directly from a sheep herder who had these dogs and were actually using them to herd sheep, which, of course, is what this particular breed is made to do. They are a herding dog. They can move out. They can go. Their stamina is incredible in addition to their intelligence and their willingness and loyalty to work. That's what makes them very, very good shepherds, and that's also what makes them good guide dogs. And they are versatile in other areas, too. Of course, today, the German Shepherd is frequently used by police for the same reason that they're used by guide dog users, is because of all of the qualities, the wonderful qualities that a German Shepherd has. Now, the qualities of a working police dog are the same as a working guide dog. However, the disposition is a little bit different. Police dogs, of course, have to also be well socialized as puppies and raised in the proper way and be friendly. However, the police dog is going to be a German Shepherd who has much more drive, much more activity level than a working guide dog. We want something that is not quite as high drive as a Schutzhund dog or a working police dog. So our dogs are just a little bit different. We started our breeding program, and we're donating German Shepherd dogs to other guide dog schools within the United States. Our dogs became very, very popular and actually were referred to as a breed within a breed because of their working abilities and because they were very, very different from the dogs that were found in the show ring. So the dogs became very, very popular, and in the early 80s, the Kamans had decided that we needed to increase our program and meet the need of people with visual disabilities by providing them on the East Coast with Fidelco Guide Dogs. So our name was changed from the Fidelco Guide Dog Foundation the Fidelco Breeders Foundation and changed to the Fidelco Guide Dog Foundation. Our first trainer was actually from England. and was an experienced guide dog trainer that came here and met the commands, and he instituted our training program. Our training program right now, we are a fairly small school, and we try to concentrate our dogs on the East Coast of the United States. However, we do have dogs throughout the United States. Our goal is to put out a high-quality German Shepherd guide dog, and we are not interested in quantities of dogs that go out. We are more interested in the quality of the dog, the guide dog team, and the proper match of the dog with the person. Our program is also a little bit different than most other guide dog schools in that we have only what we call an in-community placement program. And what that means is that when you apply to receive a guide dog and you meet all the criteria are accepted, instead of you leaving your home and your job and your family and all of your commitments to come to our school for a 2 or 3 week period to train with your dog, our training staff, our instructors will go out to your area, live in the area nearby, and work with you on an individual basis. There are a lot of good things to doing it that way. You're working on streets that you are familiar with, on routes that you're familiar with. We also make sure that all of the dogs not only work in quiet areas, but get into the larger cities as well, so that our clients have experience in working the dog in all kinds of different situations. So a lot of times people prefer this method because, once again, it's an individual process, and they're able to stay home with their commitments, train the dog there. While the trainer is there, we can help with any issues that may arise as you are working the dog. After the 3 week training period is over, we always do follow up with our clients. All clients receive a follow up shortly after their placement so that we are sure that the guide dog team is working safely and effectively together. And in addition to that, we do follow up with all of our graduates on a yearly basis to once again observe the guide dog team. At any point during the time that the person has the dog, if they encounter a problem or a question or an issue, we're always a phone call away to help with advice. If the advice is something more than we can do over the phone, then we will have somebody out there to help them in a very short period of time. So our diligence and our responsibility and loyalty are to our dogs and our clients so that we are sure that we are there whenever we need them. We do breed our own stock. We have our breeding stock at our in our location. We do not keep them as kennel dogs or boarding dogs. All of our breeding stock live in homes with volunteer people who will take our breeding animals and provide them with a nice home environment. So the dogs are not kept in the kennel. They have a life and a home just like any other dog. When a female comes into heat, we bring her into the kennel and we will board her so that she is not accidentally bred. And if we do decide to breed her during that heat cycle, it is done at our facility. And then we bring the male in from his home and we do the breeding. And the both of them are sent home. The female stays home with her family through her gestation period of 63 days. And we bring her back in generally about maybe 2 or 3 days before she's due to have her litter of puppies. We bring her in, get her accustomed to our whelping area, to our puppy house, and, of course, she's already is familiar with our staff because we have a lot of contact with her breeding dogs. Once they're in there, we actually, in our puppy house, our facility is designed so that whoever is on duty It can stay there. We have an apartment in our puppy house that is always monitored so that if she starts to show signs of getting ready to whelp, we have someone that is there to assist her and to help her and to be sure that everything is going as it should and going smoothly. And the person who is on duty will remain there until the entire litter of puppies is born. The mom stays with her pups until they're usually about 4.5-5 weeks old, and then we start to whelp our puppies. When we start to wean them, we actually feed a fairly raw diet to our young puppies. We mix up what we call a puppy milkshake, and that will consist of goat milk, which is a little bit easier to digest than cow's milk. We take raw eggs, hard-boiled eggs. We also take yogurt and some cottage cheese, put all of that in a blender, and whip it all up so it's nice and thick and soupy like a milkshake. And the puppies are started to feed on that particular type of diet, which is very, very high in protein. Once the puppies get a few weeks older, we then start to introduce a raw diet that we mix in with the puppy milkshake, gradually adding more of the raw diet. It's a brand of dog food called Frozen Complete. It comes in a frozen log, but it's, again, very high quality, made of chicken and other types of proteins that we feed to our puppies. We also start to mix in just a little bit of kibble with that. As the puppies are with us, they are fed that particular type of diet. We start working with our young puppies actually when they're about 3 weeks old. We start to use food. We start to with targeting so that they are focusing some of their attentions actually at that age not on us but, of course, on the food. But then they start to associate the food with humans, which, of course, is where the entire relationship begins. As the puppies get older, they are taken out by our staff individually every day, and they are worked with every day in a training session so that by the time the puppies are ready to go into their homes at 8 weeks with their puppy raisers, they can already walk on all kinds of different surfaces, grating surfaces, stone surfaces, soft surfaces, hard surfaces. They can climb in and out of things, and they can already sit and down for us when we ask them to do so. Of course, all of this is done with food rewards, and it's all positive training that we do with our puppies. We find that this particular breed is very, very intelligent. They learn very quickly. As a matter of fact, in our puppy house, the puppies learn very quickly that in order to get out of their pen and to be picked first for a training session, that they must sit, because the ones that are jumping in the pen are the ones that are going to be last to come out. So it's kind of interesting to watch a litter of puppies, and as someone approaches them, they're all sitting quietly waiting to be taken out. So it teaches them a little bit about patience as well. When the puppies reach the age of 8 weeks, they are put into volunteer homes. Our puppy raisers are wonderful people who take our puppies into their homes for a period of about 14 to 16 months. Now, sometimes German Shepherds take a little bit longer to mature, particularly the males than some of the other breeds. And again, because of our in-community training placement program and our individual work, we don't have to get large amounts of dogs ready to go out at certain times. So we have the luxury of being able to keep that dog in a home until it is mature enough to come into training. So if the dog seems very mature, we may bring it in at 14 months. If it needs a couple more months to mature a little bit more, it'll stay out in the home a little bit later. All of our puppy raisers are located near our facility. They bring their puppies to classes every Saturday, and our staff will help monitor the puppies. We teach our puppy raisers about raising a stable dog. They do not do any guide dog training. It is all based on a relationship that is formed between human and animal. And we work on some obedience, which, of course, is the start of the bond of a working relationship. We want to work on manners and on social aspects and socialization so that the puppies are getting all positive experiences in the real world. And again, when you have the adult personality of a dog, I would say about 50% of it is genetics, but the other 50% is really early life experiences. And of course, those experiences must be positive in order to raise a dog who is sound and stable. And that's the type of dog that we are looking for in a guide dog. So the fosters, the puppy raisers, bring their puppies to classes. We see them every Saturday. We monitor their development. Certain Saturdays, we actually take them out onto the street, into the town, and we observe the dog in the public so that we can see how the dog reacts to certain things like crates or traffic or people or other dogs, cats, squirrels, birds. And we can help the puppy raisers shape their puppies in a way that the dog will be relaxed in those different types of situations. So it's a very good way for us to see the dog out in the real world, because sometimes just bringing the dog back to us at our facility, the dog is comfortable there, it's used to the facility, it knows all of us, and sometimes it doesn't give you a real read on, you know, what that dog is all about. So taking it out onto the street individually will give us a clearer picture of where the dog is and what we need to do to shape any type of behavior that the dog may have so that it can grow up into a sound, stable dog. The families keep their puppies until, again, they're 14 to 16 months old, and then they come back to our facility for a formal training. It's not a difficult transition for the dogs because they come to our facility quite frequently with classes, so they know the facility, they know us. We board the dogs when sometimes during their foster years, so they get accustomed to the kennel. So I think that the dogs probably handle becoming into the kennel a little bit better than their puppy raisers do. Of course, it's a very difficult time. These people have had these puppies for a year and a half or close to it, and the attachments are there, and they have put their heart and their soul into raising these puppies to be guide dogs. And it's a difficult transition. So we try to keep in touch with them, let them know how their dog is doing. They may call our trainers and find out, you know, the different stages that the dog is at and how the dog is doing in the training. We always, of course, try to have another puppy available when they turn their dog in so that if they wish to take another puppy, that certainly is an option. Some people like to take a puppy right away. Others like to take a puppy before they turn their dogs in because it makes, for some people, the transition a little bit easier. And then some people like to wait wait until they're ready for another dog. We're very, very fortunate to have wonderful puppy raisers. We have many, many of them who have taken dogs consecutively. I think our most the person who has raised the most has raised like 28 puppies for us. So that really is quite huge, and they're just wonderful people who work very, very hard to prepare these dogs for their life's work. Once the dogs come into training, they come into our kennel. Our trainers are assigned to two particular dogs. Each trainer is responsible for between 6 to 8 dogs. They are responsible for feeding them in the morning, taking them out, exercising them, letting them play, letting them burn off a little bit of steam with their other dogs in their string. And then they are loaded up into our training vehicles and taken off for training for the day. When they return at about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they are exercised again, fed their dinner, and then put into their pens for the evening. Each of our dogs that is in the training program, we always pair two dogs in the pens, in the kennel, so that they always have a buddy with them. Because they are in our facility for anywhere between 6 to 8 months. That's a long time. So we always have another buddy in there, and of course the dogs are out with the trainers during the day. During the 6 to 8 month training period, the dogs not only learn to work in quiet areas, doing country walking where there are no sidewalks, but they all work in quiet towns, in bigger cities, and then of course during the latter part of their training, they are taken to the larger cities such as Boston and New York City, to receive their city training. We prepare all the dogs the same way, so that people who receive our dogs are not limited as to where they can go and what they can do with their guide dog. Of course, some dogs, just like people, some dogs prefer the challenge of working in a city, while others will prefer the more quiet nature of the country. So we take that into account when we are looking at placements of the guide dog team. During the time that the dog is in training, we have 5 different levels that the dog goes through, and the dog must go through several blindfold tests with the trainer that they're working with before they are able to proceed to the next level. So it's a very specific training period with the dogs. We use all positive reinforcements with our dogs and during the early part of training, and then we start to get away from using a lot of food and then just coming in with a lot of verbal praise so that the dog is working for us without the use of any type of food or anything like that. So the training period is actually, like I said, about 6 to 8 months. Once the dog has finished or completed its training, we then start to look for a match for the dog. Again, people who apply to us, if we get a new applicant that has been accepted and we happen to have the perfect dog for that person, we may contact that person and do the placement ahead of someone who has been waiting. Again, our goal is to make the correct matches, not to have people or just put guide dogs out and try to do the best that we can with the dogs that we have. Because we have the luxury of doing a one-on-one placement program, we can pick the right dogs for the people so that we feel that they are the correct working team, depending upon what their needs are, what their strengths are, and what their weaknesses are, and where they work and live, and the type of situation that the dog will be working in. Once the placement is picked, again, our in-community placement, our trainer or instructor will go out to work with that person individually for a 3-week period to make sure that the team is working safely and effectively together. And they work every single day for all 3 weeks that they're out there. I believe that people who are guide dog users or past guide dog users, the placement period for them is only 2 weeks because they have all the skills or understand what it is like to work a guide dog. We're very, very fortunate because of the way that we run our program and do our program. The puppies that are put into our guide dog program, we actually have about an 80% success rate with our dogs. So that's quite high, and I think we attribute that to our breeding, also to our puppy raisers and the close connection and interaction that we have with the dogs during their time that they're being raised, and then, of course, the careful selection of the pairs of placements when the dog goes out for training. Again, we use German Shepherds. They're great dogs. They're great working dogs, but German Shepherds are not for everybody. They can be a little bit challenging at times. They have a tendency to like to walk a little bit faster than some of the other breeds that are typically used as guide dogs. and their work ethic, again, is very, very strong. Because of the German Shepherd's intelligence, sometimes you have to have a handler who is a fairly good dog handler, depending upon the particular type of dog that they have, because, again, the dog is very, very bright and sometimes can take advantage. The nice thing about having a German Shepherd is manyfold. Firstly, you have a dog who's just going to work his heart out for you. And secondly, I think that German Shepherds, more than other breeds, can be sometimes a deterrent as far as safety goes. I know myself that, and I'm sure Maria can attest to this, if I go to the bigger cities, being a woman, I have no hesitation in walking with my big German Shepherd at my side down the streets of New York City. Everybody just clears the sidewalk and gets out of the way. These dogs, again, are very, very friendly and are raised to be so and are raised to have that particular type of temperament. However, once again, being a Shepherd, they can be a fast-moving dog and very, very bright. So you kind of have to have a handler who's on the ball sometimes. But they're wonderful working dogs and really have a tendency, if you have the right dog and the right match, will stand out among one of the best types of breeds used for this type of work. Maria, do you agree that you enjoy your German Shepherd?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I have to second you for the psychological or the impression that the dog makes as a deterrent to people who might not be have the best intentions in the world. I've been working with guide dogs for over 40 years, and when I started when I decided to get a dog, I was on in graduate school in a Midwestern campus, a large university where a serial killer was murdering co-eds. And I knew one of his victims, and he was murdering women in Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti. And I kind of fit the profile of the women that this person was going after, and just decided that I... walking around with a cane, I didn't feel that safe. All my guides have been incredibly friendly. No, I've never had an aggressive dog. But believe me, I'm sorry, but my dog makes me very safe and makes people look to other potential victims. So they're outstanding dogs. A lot of people have when I first started working with dogs, too, I kept hearing that the German Shepherds were too high strung, they couldn't handle the stress of guide work, in particular that they wouldn't be good for city work, et cetera. And I have just had very mellow, capable, dedicated guides.
And I think you're right. As a matter of fact, our German Shepherd dogs work, most of them will work until they are up in, 10, 11, some 12 years old, are still out there working. So they certainly have the longevity. They certainly have the drive to go out there and work. When you talk about the stamina or the ability to be able to handle stress, the stress of guide dog work, I actually think our German Shepherds are outstanding in that capacity. And I guess I have to attribute that to our breeding and our puppy raising and what the dogs are exposed to, because people work our Fidelco dogs for a very, very long time. Now, with our breeding program, of course, this is true with any breed, whether it be a German Shepherd or a Labrador or a Golden Retriever. When we're thinking about guide dogs and the type of dog you want for a guide dog, of course you want a dog who's going to have enough drive to be able to do the work, but not too much drive where they're going to be very difficult to handle. You want a dog who is going to be bold enough to make decisions and have the confidence to make those decisions, but again, not too bold where the dog is going to take over and try to be a leader. Now, when you're breeding dogs for guide dog work, I know our goal is to make a German Shepherd who's a little bit softer than the breed normally is known for. And that's kind of a very tricky line. You're really running the line between a dog who is soft enough to be able to be worked by people who are not dog handlers, yet with that softness sometimes comes a little bit of insecurity. So you have to balance that, again, with enough initiative, enough security in the dog. And it can be a very, very fine line. Sometimes if you have dogs who are soft and easy to handle, those are dogs that are very insecure and will have a difficult time and sometimes break down because of the stress of the work that it's doing. And this is true in any breed, regardless of what the breed is. So in breeding guide dogs and working dogs, whether they be German Shepherds or Labs or Goldens, again, you have that very fine line between a dog who is easy enough to handle and a dog who has enough stamina in order to not break down from the stress of the job. So my hat's off to all guide dog schools because that's a very fine line to work with. But I feel that our German Shepherds really come to the top of the heap. They work a very long time, and people will, you know, often say that their dog is just, even at retirement, ready to go, even when, you know, we know that the dog really needs to retire. But that's a very positive thing, and we're very proud of all of that. Maria, do you work your dog in the city as well as in the country?
Yes, I live in New York City in Lower Manhattan. So my dog is certainly challenged with every type of traffic. And, in fact, the training is fabulous because you're dealing with so many traffic checks and checks on intelligent disobedience and, you know, seeing how the dog can problem solve through those couple weeks of training. But so
I can't
live
read at home because I'm on the phone
during the week. And then I also have a house in Woodstock up in the country. So my dog is very flexible. The only problem I have, which I certainly deal with, is I like a nice big dog. The only problem I have, and I'm willing to deal with it, is just size a little bit when I'm traveling a couple hours by bus each way, each weekend to go to the country, or if I'm flying or something like that. But that's my personal choice. I like a large, mellow, tempered male, you know.
Mm-hmm. And what our goal is also in our breeding program, because traveling with a very, very large male can be problematic sometimes, our German Shepherds are actually are bred, well, we're not always successful, but we do try to breed them to be more on the smaller side. Our females generally weigh somewhere between 65 and 70 pounds. Our males generally weigh between 80 and 85 pounds. However, you know, there certainly are exceptions to that rule. There are some of our males get quite large and can get up to 90, 95 pounds. But then again, Sometimes we have people like you, Maria, who, you know, are looking for a larger dog, or if we have some of our clients who may be tall men and are looking for or need a bigger dog, that, again, is available too. Our dogs also work a little bit different. They don't have that steep, sloping top line that you see a lot in show dogs. Our dogs' backs are very, very straight, very square, and that makes it better for traveling. Their gait is much smoother. The dog is not walking on their hocks. They're actually walking on their feet. And again, this is due to the breeding lines that we choose, because we import our breeding lines through directly from working lines in Germany. So our shepherds are a little bit different than the dogs that you find in the show ring. As far as problems with the hips go, of course, hip dysplasia can be common in any breed of dog, whether it's a shepherd or a lab or a golden. With any of the large dogs, you always run the risk of having a dog that is dysplastic. We start out, of course, with our breeding stock. We make sure that their hips are clear. As a matter of fact, a dog, one of the breeding dogs that I actually have at my house, he came back with an OSA clearing of excellent hips, which in a German Shepherd is unheard of. And his hips came back with an excellent rating. So that is quite positive. So starting out with breeding stock that have good hips, of course, increase the probability that your puppies are going to have good hips. But, of course, it doesn't guarantee it, because even if you have parents that have perfect hips, there may be a puppy in the litter that his hips are not that great or even dysplastic. When our dogs are spayed and neutered, we do that usually when the dog is about 12 or 13 months old. Our females, we let them go through one heat cycle before we spay them. And at the time that they are under anesthesia for their surgery of spays and neuters, that's when we actually take our hip x-rays. By then, the hips are fairly well formed, and we can see through the x-rays if there may be any underlying or potential problems coming up with the dog. If we find that the dog has unsound hips or unserviceable hips, then that dog would be dropped from our program and would have what we call a career change. It would most likely go to a home as a pet or where the dog is going to be the most comfortable and the happiest. And that, again, is our first concern. Even with our dogs who go through our guide dog program, they may go through the foster years, may come into training, and we find that perhaps the best job for this particular dog is not a guide dog. That dog, again, would have a career change. Some of our dogs who we feel may be a little bit too high drive for eye type of work, we donate to our Connecticut State Police Department, and they put their dogs through their own program. They love getting our dogs because of the soundness of our dogs. They've been raised in homes. They have obedience training. They've been well socialized. They have all the skills that they need to be a great dog. And drive may be a little bit of a problem. Of course, that's what police departments are looking for. So if that's where we feel the dog is going to be the happiest, then that's where we put the dog. Other times the dog goes back to the puppy raiser and could be kept as a pet. Sometimes they are put into other types of training, whether it be obedience competition or agility competition, or sometimes they go through therapy dog training, so that those dogs that have all of those wonderful upbringing and skills can go into hospitals and visit sick children or older people who normally don't get out to be able to see dogs. So, again, our goal is to place the dog in the place where the dog is going to be the happiest. And that's our goal for all of our dogs.
This has been a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation. If you would like further information on Dog Guide Handlers Australia or like to listen to further audio, please go to our website, www.dgha.org.au. Thank you. Do you always have to have the last word?